listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that will inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Now, I'll address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and authors who share valuable stories and helpful information and who are all working to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound and make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is how to create a well-blended step family. Now, let's get real. As great as they can be, sometimes marital relationships can be difficult. And when you add his kids, her kids, his ex, her ex, and the in-laws, it can add a lot of pressure. Now, step families can get complicated and require far more effort and understanding. And this, all too frequently, includes young ones who didn't ask to be put in this situation to begin with. Now, not everyone is willing to take on this responsibility, but when you have made the decision to do so, the manner and attitude in which you approach the role of parent or step-parent can ensure that you do not alienate yourself from your partner or your children. Now, with us to discuss how to do this and much more is Michelle Sfakanos. Now, I hope I got that right. Michelle is a registered nurse and a leading authority on life skills and parenting. She is a speaker and award-winning author currently living in South Florida. Michelle has worked her way through the different areas of nursing, including medical surgical, pediatrics, and oncology. She has been previously published in poetry books and a nursing journal. Michelle is the owner of Open Pages Publishing, and her books include The 411 on Life Skills, The 411 on Surviving Teenhood, Parenting with an Edge, and Teen Success, which is all about you, your choices, and your life, and The 411 on Step Parenting, which is the topic of our show today. Michelle, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for putting out this series of books. When I found out about it, I looked at it and thought, you know, this is just a perfect fit for our show, where we're trying to get as much information out there to families and also to the professionals that are working with these families to help make the experience of family as positive as it possibly can. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Now, to sort of get right to the point of step-parenting, the reason we have step-parenting is because we have divorce. And, you know, I realize there are some aspects of there are other ways in which we end up with step-parents. But for the most part, I believe the reason that it's going on so much is because divorce is something that has just become I don't even know how to describe it, but it's something that's become a part of our society that we just have to deal with. So with that said, and with so many divorces today, what is it the parents should think about before they even get into another relationship?
Well, you know, the very first thing is they have to think about their children. If there's children involved, you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce each year. And 60% of people will go on to remarry. 45% of those bring children with them into a new relationship. So that's a pretty big statistic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start thinking about leaving one relationship, before we just jump into another, we need to kind of allow ourselves and our children, you know, it's a mourning process. They have to mourn the loss of that relationship, the loss of that parent that's leaving that home. And we have to allow them that time. You know, a lot of times kids think, what did I do wrong? It's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so by taking that time with your children, you have to, you know, talk with them constantly and make sure that they're okay and reassure them that although you and mommy, you know, or mommy and daddy won't be living in the home anymore, that they still love you and still support you 100% and will always be there for you no matter what.
I couldn't agree more. So tell us a little bit, I mean, what are, you know, the different roles, as you see it, of the step-parent?
Well, as a step-parent, you want to first realize that what your role is not. You are not their parent, and in times, you're not even their friend. Most kids have enough friends, but you are their role model. You're going to be their moral compass. You can actually be their confidant, but you have to let them understand that whatever you tell me, if it's going to affect this family or affect you in a negative way, I do have to tell your parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't withhold things from our spouse. But, you know, these kids sometimes need someone to talk to or confide in about their feelings. And as a step-parent, we're kind of a neutral party. A lot of times that places us as the go-between, sometimes between the parents.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of relationships don't end on a good note. And a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, we do drag our children and we make them the go-between. And the kids should not be the go-between. There's another person that could, you know, replace that role for that child, and that is the step-parent.
And I think you bring up a great point when you bring up the thing about being a confidant. Because I think there's a lot of things that, you know, and I talk about how we as parents, you know, our kids, when they become teenagers, they have whatever, you know, 13, 14, 15 years of experience at pushing our buttons. And they've learned just how to push those buttons. Well, now there's this new adult in there that they don't know their buttons yet. And so sometimes I think it is very good for, you know, if that child now confides in the step-parent, and obviously, as you said, it not if it's something that's dangerous, you know, but, you know, the type of thing that you could confide in somebody and get some form of a credible explanation or some form of, credible advice, you know. Now, me as a parent, I want that. I want them to be able to go to that step parent and get credible advice because I would rather that they were doing that than going out on the street and asking somebody else, you know, or one of their friends that probably isn't going to have the same type of answer. So yes, I think that's great. I like the idea of being a confidant. And again, like you said, not to the point in which it's something dangerous, but I think there's so many other questions and so many other things they can discuss that, you know, you can feel good as a parent that your mate at that point, you know, is going to be able to help them through it.
Right, and you do want to establish that trust. You know, if they can come and talk to you, then you're starting off on a good foot of, you know, establishing a baseline of trust that they know they can come to you no matter what. You know, that's one of the things, even as a parent, whether you're a parent or a step-parent, either way, you need to let your children know that they can come to you for anything without consequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times kids are so afraid to tell their parents something because they'll get grounded or they'll, you know, be punished or, you know, those kind of things. But you really want your child, and I'm not saying don't let your children have consequences, but what I am saying is they still need to be able to come to you no matter what and tell you and talk to you. And, you know, you need to be there for them and then say, well, you know, you did make a mistake. And, you know, what do you think should happen? You know, you always want to let the children be heard.
Absolutely. And I think one of the examples that actually my dad did on for me, and I've passed on to my own sons is the one in regards to drinking and driving. And I think this is an issue that I think every parent, when your children become of driving age, that you have to deal with. And, you know, you don't want to give them, an okay, to drink, by saying it's okay to go drink, just don't drive. But at the same time, it's just so incredibly dangerous for them to do that, that I think setting up something, and again, going with what my father did with me, which is if you find yourself in that situation, do not drink and drive. Call me. I will come get you. I will take care of everything. I will get you home or whatever. And there wasn't a word said about it that night. Now, we dealt with it the next day. You know, right. We talked about it and stuff. But at that point, you know, it was just, you know, literally coming and getting me, you know, putting me, you're going to go in the back of the truck instead of the cab because you look like you're going to throw up, you know? You know?
Sure.
Put me in the back of the truck. But knowing that, you know, at that point you have somebody that you can call that is going to come get you so that we don't have that situation to where you think, well, you know, I can make it home. And then you get that call of that serious accident. You know, I would rather have them know that they can call and that they can trust that you're going to come get them. And it's not going to be a scream and yell and how could you do this or anything else.
Sure. And in addition to that, if I could add something.
Please do.
It's not only if they get caught in that position, but if they do go to a party and they aren't drinking or doing anything that they're supposed to, but their ride is.
Oh,
the same
yes.
applies. You know,
yes.
don't, you know, encourage them not to get into a vehicle with anybody that's been drinking or doing drugs or anything mind-altering, you know, to substances. So, you know, yes, and you want to go get them, and you may not say nothing on the way home. And the best thing is, the best approach is not to say anything.
Yep.
You don't want to discipline your children in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to add to the scenario, and I'm really glad you brought that scenario up, and to add to that, and again, being a parent of teenagers, sometimes it's an embarrassment to have mom or dad pick you up. So if they ask you and say, you know what, can you meet me down at the corner, you know, two blocks away where the 7-Eleven is, I'm going to walk down there, don't argue with them, just do it.
Yeah. And,
you know, just do it. I don't understand why I can't come to, just don't go there. The fact that they're calling you means that you have established the right communication. Go meet them at the 7-Eleven.
Right.
So now with that said, now what are some of the other tips that you can give, you know, to help parents and step-parents deal with some of these communication issues?
Well, there's a technique called active communication, and it's a great technique. And what it is you want to allow the children or teenager to tell you whatever they want to tell you without interjecting or saying anything. And then when they're done, you want to repeat back what you thought you heard. And then if there's a mix-up, allow them to correct you. Because, you know, we have a lot of cross-cultural families. We have, you know, the kids today utilize all the slang terms, half of which we have no idea what they're trying to say. Something may be bad, but it's actually good, you know. So we want to make sure that we take that communication error out of the situation. So just, you know, let them tell you what they want to say and then repeat it back. And, you know, keep your sense of humor because it could turn out to be something pretty funny.
Yeah. Do you have an example of that either in your own case or somebody that sent something in to your website or to your blog?
Actually, I do. I do. I had a parent contact me and said, you know, they had heard me on another show and about the active communication technique, so they thought they'd give it a try. And their child was trying to tell them that they were working on something in school, and the teacher was trying to tell them, you know, this was something that you did, but never really said it was positive or negative, but used a word, but it was an acronym like BAD, B-A-D, but it stood for something bright, achievable, development or something, you know, it was great. And they kept saying, my teacher told me I was bad. And then, you know, they listened to the child say, and then they came back and said, well, why were you bad? You know, but the kid kept saying, but I wasn't bad. You know, so it kind of went back and forth, and then, you know, they finally said, but it stands for something, and it's written right here. And when the child showed, you know, the parent the note, they were like, but you were good.
Yep.
You know, but that, just that, you know, miscommunication of, it was an acronym, and the child, I don't think, you know, kids don't understand what an acronym is.
Right.
You know. So, you know, needless to say, it was a funny story, but, you know, you kind of felt bad for the child at first because I think they were about to get disciplined.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, that or just the different lingo. I mean, each generation has their own version of you know, when somebody would say, wow, that's dope. You know, well, that at one time was supposed to be good. It didn't mean that you were actually, you know, it didn't involve drugs then. So. Yeah, there's so many things they can do, and I think to add another kind of miscommunication story, and one that we have in being hired to locate a young man as a who had run away, and actually there's an article I've written in regards to this particular one, but we had a boy who had been suspended from school for being caught smoking marijuana, and the parents said to him, you know, you're grounded for X amount of time, and if this ever happens again, and this is kind of one of those flippant statements that some of us make as parents, you know, and if something like this ever happens again, you're grounded for life.
Oh, my.
Okay, well, you know, we get upset and we blurt something out like that. Well, unfortunately, in this situation, a few weeks later, he got caught at school for smoking cigarettes. Again, first time was marijuana, second time was cigarettes. All this boy focused on was, I'm going to be grounded for life. So
right.
He got home before his parents. He stole the family car. And then I was hired to find him because he was a runaway. And when we ended up finding him, and we were hired, he was already had been gone for days.
Right.
And when we ended up finding him, he had gotten involved with some other people that had given him much stronger drugs than marijuana, and he had crashed the car, and in the car had broken some bones. You know, so he was now injured. He was now in the hospital. He had crashed the car. He now had much more severe drugs in his system. And when the parents got there and they said, what is wrong with you? What were you thinking? Why did you do this? He said, you said I was going to be grounded for the rest of my life. So it was a figure of speech. We didn't mean that. Well, guess what? He thought you meant it.
Yes.
You know, and the other point was they said it was cigarettes.
Oh.
To us, there's a big difference. So it wasn't going to be anything like that. But because of that lack of communication, what would have been a very small situation turned out to be a huge thing on this child and on this family.
Sure.
So, yes, I love the fact that you say, you know, communicate. And when you mention about active communication, mirroring back so that everybody understands that it's the same type of communication. We're all seeing it the same way. So I think that's great. Now, kind of going back a little bit to, you know, the situation, you know, there are people out there, they've been divorced, they're now dating, and they now think that this is the one. You know, this might be the one that they're going to marry. How does one go about introducing this new person to the children?
Okay. Well, actually, and to put this front and foremost, when you are dating different people, it's really not fair to bring them around your children until you are sure that they could be the one.
Great point.
You know, because children get attached very easily to other people, and they're already feeling guilty thinking that they broke their parents up. So when you have someone you're dating and things don't work out and they're gone, again, now really the child thinks it's their fault. They keep chasing everybody off. So, you know, just to put that out there, please don't bring a lot of dates around your children so that you don't confuse them. When you have found that person and you really feel like they're the one and you're, you know, going to prepare to make that blended family, you want to take things very slowly in introducing your children. You know, you kind of think of a meeting for the first time with the kids as like a blind date. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, you keep it short and safe. Try an activity that everybody's going to like maybe going to a kid-friendly restaurant depending on their age. Mm-hmm. Making sure that, you know, you don't encourage the children, you know, you're going to like them. Oh, you know, don't talk them up too much. Children are very intuitive, and let them formulate their own opinion of that person.
Good point.
And be willing to listen to that opinion. Because, again, children are very intuitive. You might want to make sure that, you know, again, it's not something that lasts for a very long time. You could let the new person bring a little special something, with, you know, that you normally don't have in the house, you know, maybe a little bit of candy or, you know, nothing big and lavish, but just a little something to say, hey, you know, nice meeting you, and, you know, let's try and start out as friends, you know. But, again, you want to make sure that it's short and sweet. Make sure that there are no overnights. Because, you know, that, again, that's sending a mixed message to your children. So, and, you know, each child is going to have a different reaction. Some will just outright, you know, disregard this whole meeting and not want anything to do with it. And other children, especially the younger children, may be a little bit more accepting. So depending on the age of the child, you know, don't be too upset after that first meeting. And just know, it can take up to 2 years or more for a child to accept a new person in their parent's life.
You know, and I think that's a great point. How would you deal with the, you know, if all of those things are done, but you have the other parent is sort of sabotaging, you know that situation, you know, by putting information out there that, you know, that isn't fair because for whatever reason they don't want the other, you know, the other to get married again or whatever. Any suggestions on how to deal with that?
Well, the very first thing I would say is when you do get a divorce, it's best to have it put in writing that neither parent can say anything cross about the other parent to the children. And you have to really try and continually to enforce that. Now, I know things happen behind closed doors that we're not aware of. Okay?
Right.
And, but, you know, again, that goes right back to communication with your children. To say, you know, it's really not fair. You know, if they say, well, Daddy says, you know, well, then your response might be, well, you know, it's really not fair because Daddy doesn't know this person. So let's give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's try and see what happens. And after we get together, we'll sit down and we'll talk about how you think the night went and, you know, what do you think? You know, you always want to get the children's input. Kids want to be heard. It doesn't matter what age group that they are in. Kids want to be heard and they want to be taken seriously.
See, that's
I remember a pediatrician that I had for my children a long time ago always told me, if your child says it hurts, it hurts. You have to listen to them. And if your child says they don't like someone or they don't like something, ask them why.
Right.
Always get their input. They want to be heard.
Yeah, I think that's a great point is to, you know, because at some point if you start discounting that, I think it can affect them on so many other levels as far as you not valuing their opinion, not you know, not wanting to even listen to what it is. I think then you have a child that even feels more need to go out and get that type of reinforcement from outside the home, and you don't want that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about some of actually, I think what we'll do is we'll take a break, but when we come back, I mean, you know, let's talk about some of the, you know, the problems and the differences in family rules and discipline, and what are some of the ways that you can kind of get both sides to, you know, when you have a child that's living in two different homes, where you can get both sides to communicate enough to recognize the value of having similar rules, you know, if that's possible and the best way to go about that. So we're going to be right back. Again, the book is called The 411 on Step Parenting. And if you want to follow along with us, go to www.my411books.com. You can open up another window. You can see Michelle. You can have a really good idea of what it is we're talking about and what some of her other books are about. So stay with us. We will be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. And the book that we are discussing today is called The 411 on Step Parenting. Our guest, Michelle, is a registered nurse and owner of Open Pages Publishing. And when we went to break, we want to know a little bit more about some of the problems that can come out of having different family rules, especially as they're related to discipline, that come out of each household when you have children that are living part-time in one and part-time in the other.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of times when you have two different households, and I experienced this when I first had a divorce, you know, say, for example, the children lived with me full-time and they visited their father every other weekend. Well, when they were over there, it was kind of a free-for-all because he didn't feel he wanted to discipline the children because his time with them was limited.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came home, it was like, I felt like I had to retrain them all over again, you know, to the rules of our home.
Right.
You know, so it's very frustrating, you know. So when you have a step-parent, now you're married and there's a step-parent in the household and the children come home and they just, you know, don't have a whole lot of respect for you. One of the things that we always said in our home was, you don't have to like me or love me, but you do have to respect me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important to reinforce in both households. Now, children are master manipulators. And
oh, yeah.
I love children, but they really are master manipulators. So as parents and step-parents, you have to present a united front. And one of the things that you do need to do is sit down together before you say, I do. And just, you know, determine what your discipline approach will be, who will be the enforcer. Because in my opinion, the biological parent should be the enforcer,
mm-hmm.
at least for the first couple of years. Because again, it takes up to 2 years and beyond for a child to accept someone. So you don't want to force discipline on a child when you're trying to build a relationship with them as a step parent. So, you know, again, different houses can mean different rules. And what goes on at one home is of no concern to the other parent unless the children are in danger. Okay, so you just have to worry about how your home is functioning, your rules, your discipline, and, you know, hope that the other home is doing just as well. You're going to hear from the kids. They're going to tell you. But you just have to realize, you know, children will try and play you off one of another to get what they want.
Right, and I think, too, for parents to realize that you may not be getting told the truth.
Right.
You know, there's so much of this, well, I want this. Well, I get this over there, so why don't I get it here? And then without checking with that other parent, you go, okay, and then you start doing that and realize, no, that isn't the case over there. You've just been played, and it works
right.
both ways. So I think oftentimes to meet with the other family and say, here's what we're being told. We're in no way, saying that we're acknowledging that this is what's real, nor are we judging it. We're just wanting you to know that we're being told that, that this, whatever, 12-year-old has a 2 a.m., curfew, on weekends. And, mm-hmm. And with us, it's 11 o'clock. And then oftentimes, I think what the parents will find out is they'll say, well, what are they saying that for? It's 10 o'clock with us,
Right.
Mm-hmm. and then they go, well, they're telling us it's 2 o'clock because they're trying to get us to bump it up to midnight. So so they're using one to play against the other. And if you don't communicate, you're liable to fall into that trap.
Absolutely. And isn't it amazing that, you can't get children to memorize a spelling word or something, but they can become a master manipulator and work the room like you've never seen before.
Yeah. And one of the things that I say to many parents, that we may get involved with in working with their children, is how's your memory? What did you do at that age? Because I can tell you that I worked it, I'll admit it. And, if you think back and you start using your own memory and go, yeah, okay, I did that. They're doing it now. It doesn't make them bad. It just right. means that they're working it, and your job is to keep it from changing the way in which you believe in regards to how you feel your house should be run.
Yes, and it's very important to to add all of your discussions or have a lot of your discussions at mealtime. A lot of families don't sit down and talk together anymore during mealtime. It's rushing off to this game or this sport or ballet lessons, and everybody's eating fast food and nobody's eating nutritious food as a family anymore. And it's so important because that's when a lot of this is going to come out of what goes on at the other household. And, you really, please, parents and step-parents, don't pump your kids for what goes on in the other home.
Good point.
I have a couple that I'm working with right now, and they just get so frustrated because the mother constantly pumps the children. What'd you do this weekend? And where did you go? And what did they buy you? And what did they do for you? And, and then the child comes home Sunday night and is exhausted.
Right.
And it's like, I love my mom, but she asked me all these questions. And how do I get her to stop asking me these questions? And, it's so frustrating for the dad that, they're just so stuck right now. They don't know what to do.
Yes. And I think that's a great point. And then going back to what I was saying, and even while you are pumping them information, you don't really know that it's accurate anyway, and it shouldn't have an effect on the way that you run your family. So I think it's a great point. Now, let's touch on another subject, because I think it's, what about adult children? I mean, I think that there's a lot of people out there that think, hey, you know what? They're out of the house. I don't need to talk to them. I don't need to discuss with them. Tell us about how it works with adult children, and do they have adjustment issues? And if so, what do you think can be done?
Well, adult stepchildren can probably be the worst situation you might be putting yourself into. because depending on who's older, you or your stepchild, that presents a problem right there. You might have a problem being taken seriously,
mm-hmm.
Your motives might be looked on with suspicion. Everybody says, gold digger and, there's a lot of terms that, or she's just looking for a father figure, your partner's grown child. They could feel threatened that, their territory is being taken over by the relationship because, you know, especially as we get older, our children, you know, are a lot of them look forward to that inheritance. And now there's a new person coming into the life, and, oh, wait, you know, this is going to affect my inheritance. Not thinking that maybe their mom or dad now is extremely happy because maybe they were sad for a long time being alone, you know.
Yep.
So it's advisable, if you can, to spend one-on-one time with them. Listen to their concerns. Take them out for, you know, if they like beer and wings, take them out for beer and wings and treat. And just have a conversation. Just say, hey, don't look at me as a stepmom or a stepdad. You know, let's just go out and have a conversation.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to make small talk. How was work today? You know, just, you know, hey, you know, what have you been doing lately? What's, you know, what are their interests? Find out ahead of time what are their interests. If they like football, you know, start a conversation about the latest game or the last game and, you know, how'd you feel about it? Don't favor a team because you might, you know, be opposites and you don't want to start the conversation off in a bad way.
Now
you know.
You're rivals.
Right, right. Which, you know, sometimes it might make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might take a little bit of that tension off to make things fun. You know, that's one thing I can't stress enough. Being a step-parent, don't take it personal and don't lose your sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because it all plays in whether they're small children or, you know, grown adult children. But you definitely want to make sure that, you know, if you can make it a regular thing to go out every once in a while, you know, and get together and just get to know each other, because that one-time outing really isn't going to work. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, knowing that a relationship requires, you know, work time and even more time. So, you know, do it as you can. Don't force yourself on them, but make it comfortable. And if they're adult children that live out of town, you know, try an email, try and Skype, do that face-to-face, you know, contact. I know a lot of the new iPhones have that FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you're not trying to manipulate your partner's time from them. You want to make them included in everything.
Yeah, and I think you brought up something that is just so important, and that is if you love your parents, I mean, if you're now, if you're as the adult child, and you love that parent, and for whatever reason, be it through divorce or having lost one of the parents, if you want them to be happy, then rather than try and look for something negative, try yourself to get close to that person so that you can see what they see. You know, do they see, you know, do you see that same love? Are they making them feel good? You know,
right.
So I think it's great where you talk about, yes, you know, the step parent, you know, now making the effort, but at the same time, if you're that adult child, you know, make the effort also, because you may just see that same love that your, you know, mom or dad sees in them. So I think that's a great point you bring up. We have some questions that have come through, through email and through instant message, and I have one here that says, my husband's oldest daughter, parentheses, now 22, is a love, and his youngest, 18 years old, totally resents and does everything she can to sabotage our relationship. The nicer I am to her, the worse she treats me, at the point that I am about to refuse to deal with her. My husband just laughs it off as her antics, as she has been the baby of the family for so long. I feel caught in the middle with no support or help. What do you recommend I do short of taking a hike? And it's signed, it says stressed out and stomach ulcers cannot be my only choice here.
Oh, I am so sad for her. And no, it cannot be your only choice. First and foremost, you really need to sit your spouse down and talk to him. And you have to, you know, tell him, This isn't a laughing matter. This is making me sick. This is making me physically sick. And I need your support. I need you to help me to talk to her, to, you know, be able to get along with her. And again, the father should be insisting respect. He should tell her, you don't have to like her, but you do have to respect her.
Mm-hmm.
And it really falls on his shoulders. Now, as far as her feelings and stuff, you know, depending on how long the relationship, how long they've been in the relationship, you know, it may be falling into that two-year period or more of, you know, she still just hasn't accepted a stepmother. Now, one other thing I'd like to add, too, a lot of times kids think that they're betraying their biological parent by liking the step-parent.
Yep.
Okay, and that's where the biological parent has to come in of the opposite end and say, you have to formulate your own opinion if you want to, if you like that person, if you love that person, that's up to you because I know you love me and nothing's going to change.
You know, that.
See, I just
got like a horripilation on my neck. That was so beautiful the way that you put that because I think that that is so important. You know, you touched on that. I think it's a huge point is that they're just, you know, they feel like they're going to let the other parent down. And you're right. The parent in the other family at this point has to be the adult.
Yes.
Be the adult and step forward. You're doing something so great for your own child in how they make decisions about people. So, yes, I couldn't agree more. They've got to form their own opinions.
And we have to allow our children to do that. You know, no matter how the relationship broke up, we have to be adults about it. I mean, obviously, if it didn't work, there wasn't a reason to stay in the relationship, and that's why you're moving on and accepting a step relationship.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've got to allow our children, though, to make their own decisions and stop trying to influence them.
I couldn't agree more. Now, we've got another email that has come in. This one reads, this is one of the most difficult topics. As a family therapist, I have seen some insidious step-parents that become quite jealous of the closeness their spouse may have with his or her children. And youth that felt that the new parent was stealing the time and attention they were accustomed to receiving. I commend you for writing this book. It was a fun read that covered so many topics that would take us a couple of years to work through in weekly therapy sessions. I have already recommended it to three of my clients as a bedside daily motivational must-have piece.
I'm honored. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, And I'm so glad, first of all, thank you to the therapist that sent this in. And I'm glad one of the things that my producer, Jan, does is that she sends out weeks ahead of time to some of the professionals and to some of the media people who the guest is going to be. And oftentimes I love the fact that somebody gets that press release and makes a decision to get the book first so that by the time we get a comment like this, they've already had a chance to read it and make these type of comments. So thank you to the person that took the time to make the comment and to Jan for being so wonderful that she makes these decisions for us.
Yes, thank you very much.
So we've got about 5 minutes, and I wanted to touch on something. One of the things that I'm blessed with in my life is that I get the opportunity to travel around the world. So I deal with many different cultures. And one of the things, especially here in America, is that we have many, many families today that are dealing, you know, they are now getting remarried and they're marrying into another culture. So there's a lot of differences. So what are some of the ways in which we can make everybody comfortable in this type of situation?
Well, first and foremost, you know, active communication technique plays a big part in this. You really may have to, you know, repeat things several times before the message comes across. And you want to learn and explore each other's culture. You know, tell each other about the types of foods that you like, any kind of rituals that you may do, say at dinner time, or even holidays. You know, holidays are a fun time to bring out each other's cultures and, you know, discuss what to do and make new holiday traditions in your family. You know, a lot of times everybody thinks when Christmas comes or, you know, 4th of July that we always have to do the same thing every year. Well, now that you're creating your own well-blended step family, create new traditions. Have, you know, have new foods at Christmas time or your favorite holiday time. Change it up a little bit and include each other's cultures. You know, one of the biggest things about understanding each other's cultures is a tolerance. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, and you know, for example, an Asian American child's refusal to look an adult in the eye will be interpreted as, you know, shifty in some cultures, but it's merely respectful in theirs.
Great point.
You know, you want that eye contact, but if children are taught not to do that, you need to know that ahead of time. And you have to be flexible. And again, that sense of humor comes in, you know, comes in really handy, you know. Our American culture tends to focus on the nuclear family. And in other cultures, the family unit, it's the extended family, the uncles, the aunts, the cousins, and a lot of times they all live in the same household. So if you're moving into a home where there's a lot more people living there, that's going to take some serious adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So we want to make sure that, you know, as our family, we want to have a strong family identity because that's the foundation for everyone in that family to stand on. And then we can build upon that and share our experiences. You know, you want to teach them your language if there's a different language, because language is culture. Invite them into your community. If you live in a different community before you're, you know, blending together into the same home, invite them into the community and tell them about your community and what y'all like to do and what y'all like to eat or, you know, play them your music.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has something, and one big thing is tell them stories about when you were a child. You know, kids love stories.
Yep.
And especially if it's something from, you know, a different area, a different country. You know, kids do love stories because they always want to try and relate to that story and think of a story of their own that might be similar so that they could tell you.
I think that's a great point, and you're right. I mean, from the standpoint of starting with it as a tolerance, but also then taking it to the point of acceptance. I mean,
yes.
You know, they, you know, whatever it is they've heard, whatever it is they've seen on TV, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you're getting it. You know, I think if they can look at it as this is a gift, you have a gift now to where you get to receive this directly from the person that lived it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be so nice for, you know, for all of us. I mean, to be able to do that. And like I said, I feel blessed that I get the opportunity to do this, but we can do it right here. We can do it with our children. We can do it with our stepchildren. So yes, I think it's great. Michelle, I got to tell you, thank you so much. And again, for everybody out there, if you go to her website, it is my411books.com. There is a blog. She has her own blog talk radio. There's so many great things on there. And Michelle, hopefully we can have you back because I just think there's so much great information you have for us.
Well, thank you, Alan. I'd love to come back.
All right. Well, again, for everybody out there, thank you for listening to Answers for the Family. We hope to hear from Michelle again. In the meantime, we're going to hear a little bit about from Chet, who's going to tell us a little bit about what he's doing across the world. Have a great week and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
Hello, my name is Chet W. Sisk. I'm an 11-year life coach and the leadership development specialist for a nonprofit called the World Assembly of Youth. I'm going to provide a year of online life coaching for everyone that signs up and becomes a sponsor for our new online leadership development app called the LEAD Course. The course was created for young leaders in emerging countries and new leaders here in the United States. It teaches a model of leadership that includes sustainability, loving kindness, vision, feminine principles, personal empowerment, and connectedness. The tuition for this class is only $50 a year, but in some parts of the world, that's more than a month's salary. We have students in Niger, Bangladesh, Malawi, Namibia, Mongolia, Brazil, and more countries that simply can't afford the $50 a year tuition to take the class. Now, to offset our cost, we need you to sponsor them. If you sign up and donate the $50 sponsor rate, one of the students from the countries mentioned will be able to take the class and further the world into a new direction in leadership. We can win the hearts and minds of young leaders now, while the window is open. Now, this isn't a something-for-nothing proposition. You sponsor them, and we'll provide you with an online life coaching package that will empower you on your path. Go to www.leadtheshift.com, click the Sign Up Now icon, register, then mark the Sponsor button. Be ready to receive your free online life coaching. Once you sign up, your life coaching starts immediately. We are in desperate need of at least 31 of you to sign up as soon as possible. Go to www.leadtheshift.com. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.